Arizona Sports. The local sports leader. Burns and Gambo. The 4 o'clock reset. Brought to you by Collins Comfort AC and Plumbing. Proud home services partner of the Arizona Cardinals. 4 o'clock reset.
Burns and Bird today. Jordan Bird, our former producer, fill-in host. He's filling in for Gambo today as we are live from Footprint Center and our broadcast brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. We're at the turn. The midway point of the Burns and Gambo show, so this is where we get you caught up on everything going on in sports. And we start with the Phoenix Suns. Back here tonight, they're hosting Jalen Green and the 5-win Houston Rockets. Chris Paul has already been ruled out. Now Torrey Craig has been ruled out, so with a groin strain, I believe. So for those of you keeping score at home, that means for tonight's game, obviously, no Jay Crowder. He's still sitting at home. No Cam Johnson. He still has the meniscus injury. Your third string power forward wing player is now unavailable. We haven't heard who's going to start. The running theories seem to be either Damian Lee or maybe Jock Landale if you really wanted to go big. But once again, it's another little thing for this team to overcome, albeit against a very bad, very young Rockets team.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the best case scenario, right? To have this being on your fourth wing player, your fourth number four for a game like this, it's kind of advantageous to have the Rockets. And I look at this game tonight as kind of a test, just another small test along the road of the regular season to see if Devin Booker can continue to do the magic that he has done for the last week or so.
Yeah, we'll talk about this coming up in a couple of minutes, but it's pretty obvious that Devin Booker has achieved that level of superstardom now where he's compelling enough just to watch him. You know, it doesn't mean he's going to have a good game, doesn't mean he's going to have a great night every night, but he has reached that level where it almost doesn't matter who's around him, and it doesn't really matter who's on the schedule. You tune in, what crazy stuff is that dude going to do tonight on the floor? And that is, when you reach that level, that's like the true upper crust of the NBA.
I think for me, the where he is at now, it's now an expectation that he is going to be great. Where in the past, and I'm not even saying that, you know, just this last week, but maybe in seasons past, where if he had a 40-point game or something, it was, oh, wow, that was, you know, a blip on the radar. Now you feel like on any given night, Devin Booker can go out and can completely dominate the game. And it's not just offense as well. His defense has been fantastic as well.
It has been very, very good. From the NFL, the Cardinals obviously have the off week this week, the very late bye in the season. Kyler Murray, it's been a long week for the young man, even though he doesn't have a game to prepare for. Question this week after Patrick Peterson called him out on his All Things Covered podcast today on our Cardinals Corner podcast. Murray's teammate, rookie offensive lineman Lasita Smith, joined that podcast and very much defended Kyler Murray's character and how he plays.
I feel like a lot of people look at him as this selfish guy and a guy that only cares about himself. But being on the inside, I see that he cares about guys. I can speak personally. So some people, he may not have the best character, or they may not know him like some of us do on the inside, but he's a good dude, and he definitely looks out for his guys.
And look, and I will say that's what bothered me maybe as much as anything else when it comes to Patrick Peterson, the statement, Kyler don't care about nothing but Kyler. Of course he cares about something other than Kyler. Does he care enough? That, you know, that's sort of the, between the body language and everything else, that's kind of what we talk about. But to think that Kyler literally cares about nothing else other than him and that none of it matters to him at all, come on. He would have achieved this level in his career with that sort of next-level narcissism, I wouldn't think, anyway.
Well, and the other thing, too, and I'm sure he's still in touch and contact with some Arizona Cardinal players, but Patrick Peterson hasn't played, been in the same locker room with Kyler Murray in 4 years.
Right.
So is there a possibility that Kyler Murray has grown, matured since you last were with him on a daily basis? Yeah. I mean, I still think that that Patrick Peterson brought up some interesting points. I just don't care the way that he went about it.
Yeah. Cardinals GM Steve Keim joined the show earlier. He talked about Kyler Murray's character as well.
The fact that Kyler had to sit 2 weeks with the injury, I honestly thought from my perspective that the way he came back, watching his body language, his approach, the way he played in the game, I thought he actually did a very good job. And maybe sometimes those opportunities to be able to sit back and watch are chances to grow. And I think Kyler played a good football game, and I thought he did some really good things in terms of decision-making and times that he had to run with the football, which are obviously difference makers for us.
That was Steve Keim with us earlier today. The Bills trounced the Patriots last night 24-10 on Thursday Night Football. Josh Allen, 223 yards, two touchdowns in the win, including that crazy touchdown pass at the end of the first half. Probably shouldn't have thrown it. He was like a foot away from being out of bounds, and yet
across his body
threw a dime in the end zone. Very, very impressive play. And now the Patriots are pretty much in must-win territory when they come to State Farm Stadium a week from Monday to play the Cardinals. Lose that, they're probably out of it in the AFC.
Yeah, it's going to be a team that's hungry. It's going to be a team with their season on the line. And although they didn't win the game last night, they won the uniform combination. It was
with the old school throwback,
Patriot
the reds
Pete
with
on the helmet. Yes.
I didn't know that dude had a name. He's Patriot Pete?
I think that's the name.
Really?
Don't hold me to it, but I believe that's what he's referenced.
I did not know that was his actual name, but that's very, very cool. This weekend in the NFL, big games. Titans, Eagles, Jets, Vikings, Commanders, Giants, Dolphins, 49ers, Chiefs, Bengals. Those are all above 500 teams playing each other. One game we didn't mention when we talked about this earlier. The return of Deshaun Watson. The 11-game suspension is done. They're 4-7. There's no expectation the Browns are any good, but you better believe people are going to be watching to see how he does. He hasn't played a game since January of 2021.
And they are paying him a lot of money to have not played in that long of a period of time. I just want to go back to the one game that you mentioned, the Giants and Commanders. Maybe excluding Philadelphia, who do you think is the best team in that NFC East? Or throw it, maybe it's someone who you do think is better than Philadelphia.
I think the Cowboys are the second best team in the NFC East, and I think they're almost neck and neck with the Eagles.
I kind of agree with that. Yeah, I mean, I think the Giants and the Commanders are a little bit of fool's gold.
A little bit.
And the
but
Cowboys
still might be good enough to get in.
True.
I just think a little bit of fool's gold.
But I just think it's going to be fascinating because, I mean, everyone has kind of anointed the Eagles as the best team in the NFC, where with all of these intra-NFC East games coming up, we could see quite a bit of a shakeup.
No doubt about it. New ASU head football coach Kenny Dillingham was on the Bickley and Murata show today. He made it clear where his priorities stand for next season's roster. Here's the coach.
Contrary to what a lot of people do nowadays, it's not to convince people not to transfer. I want people who want to be Sun Devils. I want people who wake up every day, they walk into that building, and they go, man, am I lucky. Man, can I not wait to get to work. And that's what I told everybody that walked through that door is, you know what? This is my dream job. I'm going to be here forever, as long as I can. And we're going to do this the right way. We're going to get people in this building who want to be here. And you'd be shocked how many people want to be here and love this place.
Look, it's a noble way of phrasing it. In today's and I know he knows this, all right, but in today's college football world, that transfer portal and the ease of which guys can leave when they want to leave, right, that is a real fickle thing you've got to deal with if you're a head coach in college football.
Yeah, but it's a double-edged sword as well. I mean, it can work for ASU's benefit as well. I mean, especially with how deep and how well the state of Arizona has come in high school football and all of these top recruits, the majority of them leaving the Grand Canyon State. If someone at USC or someone at Nebraska or one of these Arizona kids is like, I don't like my current situation, there's this guy back in my own home state who has lit a fire under that program, maybe I'll go check him out. Yeah. I mean, it could work vice versa as well.
All right. Also around the ASU program, reports have surfaced that Kenny Dillingham is planning to hire Cal Poly's head coach, Bo Baldwin, to be his new AC. He's the longtime head coach for Eastern Washington of the Big Sky. Big win for ASU basketball last night. They beat Colorado in their conference opener. A Desmond Cambridge Jr. three-pointer with 2.5 seconds to go. They were down 15,
yeah,
and they won that game 60-59.
Man, and the one loss, what was it, to Texas Southern, I believe?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a distinct possibility ASU should be undefeated at this point.
And I know a big reason why Gambo's not on the air today. Fourth-ranked U of A lost their first conference game last night on the road, 81-66. Gambo loves him some U of A basketball. I think he's avoiding the microphone because he knows we'd give him crap about U of A losing.
That's kind of a weird game, right? I mean, I know Utah's had some questionable losses so far this season, and it just shows maybe, potentially, that the Pac-12's got some depth this year.
Potentially, and that U of A maybe. I mean, look, the Maui Invitational was was a great win for them, but that's a pretty mediocre team they lost to, unless Utah's better than we think.
Well, and also, those Maui games are tough because you're playing in a high school gym in front of a neutral crowd for the most part.
Yeah.
It's different than going on the road in the Pac-12.
And the Diamondbacks made it official today. They have signed relief pitcher righty Miguel Castro to a one-year deal. According to reports, he's getting about $3.5 million for the season. He's 28 years old, pitched for the Yankees last year. He did it with a 4.12 ERA for his career. Hard thrower, has missed some games, has a high walk rate. Mike Hazen has talked in the past about wanting to add more power arms, but knowing that he was probably going to have to take some risks to do it, this is kind of a risky sign given how many games he's missed and how erratic he can be.
Even still, it's better than what the bullpen was this past season.
No doubt.
So, I mean, throw as many arms, throw as many bodies as that at that problem as you possibly can, because it really was detrimental to the season how that bullpen played.
That's your 4 o'clock reset here on Burns and Gambo.